Blog Talk Radio.
To the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, March 5th, 2020, the Thursday edition of the Cross in the Desert. It's been now 1 week since our dear friend Mary Fatima Mohammadi was released from prison. And I've been communicating with her, talking with her, chatting with her on Telegram and on Facebook as well, and just asking her questions about her experiencing, asking her questions about how she's feeling. And the first couple of days, she was just not feeling well at all. And of course, she's surrounded by the worst outbreak of any illness in Iran. The coronavirus is there. And according to my sources, upwards of 1,200 Iranians have perished because of this outbreak. Now, they like to say that is the government. That's only been 50 or 60 people. And a lot of my sources also tell me that they are being deceptive. They're misleading. I have video on my page, and I've shared video, of UC body bags in morgues in cities of Qom and other areas of Iran. And it surely looks, according to this video, far more than just maybe 50 or 60. But as I was speaking to you first and foremost about Mary, Mary told me her experience in Qarchak prison for women was horrible. That was the word she used, and dangerous. And she said the food was awful. And, of course, she has her own prayer page, and we have been praying fervently for her. And we really praise God that she was released. Now, she was released on bail. And so I think part of the reason for her release was to stop the spread of this virus, that those who test negatively for this virus are released. Now, Mary has never told me that she was tested, but she told me that she'd lost a lot of weight. And the first couple of days, she just didn't feel well. As I spoke to her last night, my time, She says she was feeling pretty good, and she had been sleeping better and eating better. And so she is up and about. Of course, she's not doing a lot of traveling outside because of the spread of the virus. And so she's gone to her own prayer page that we created for her on Facebook, and she was just so impressed. She said it was excellent. And Mary is extremely excited about how people have treated her, how people have been concerned about her and praying for her. And so her spirits are starting to get a little bit better. Now, of course, she faces a court date someday. Her court case was dismissed this past Monday because the judge in her case had the coronavirus. And so I don't know how long this is going to be, but our biggest prayer priority for Mary is to pray when she goes back to court to face charges of being a part of this illegal protest on January 12th. We are praying specifically that all of the charges against her will be dropped. Now, Mary told me when we first met, after not seeing each other for almost, 2 months, she said to me, it is my duty to go to prison. She felt that she was going to be sentenced. And if you understand what she means by that, she's reacting to the fact that there's no human rights in Iran. She's reacting to the fact that when she stands up in solidarity with Christians on Twitter, the government doesn't like that. And so she feels the best way she can please God is to go ahead and go back to prison to take a stand for religious freedom in Iran. And that's the way she feels. And you can understand that. She's just such a dedicated Christian lady. And she's not afraid or ashamed of anything or anyone. So please continue to keep Mary in your prayers. I don't know if it's going to be a couple of weeks, a month. It could be longer. But she is out on bail. Now, speaking of bail this morning, I want to get now to the main story I want to share with you. In light of everything that's happened with the coronavirus, there are stories that the government is releasing prisoners on a temporary basis to halt the spread of the coronavirus. In fact, according to the Wall Street Journal, which I have here in front of me, they are releasing 54,000 prisoners. Now they have to make the bail. It's not just a process where they just open the door and let them out. But that is the process they are going through. That they are temporarily released, just like Mary. And this is all done in an attempt to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in the country's crowded prison. Now, according to the government, there are about 23 lawmakers that are infected with this virus. Now, these 54,000 prisoners have gone out on furlough after testing negative for the virus. That's according to judiciary spokesman Ghulam Hossein Ismaili. Now, he indicated, this is a controversial story, he indicated that several prominent Iranian political prisoners, prominent ones, and British dual national prisoner, which is Nazanin Ratcliffe, would be allowed out. But now, this story has undergone a lot of revision. First, it was reported that she was going to be set free, that is Nazanin Ratcliffe. And then it was reported from her husband in the UK that that's false. And this goes back and forth about what is actually going to happen to Nazanin. According to her husband, Richard, he is afraid that she has the virus. According to Iran, she is fine. Her health is fine. And so this battle goes on and on and on again. But what I thought was so interesting about all of this, I talk an awful lot here on the radio program about how Jesus sets people free. And now the prison doors are opening for these prisoners. It's like Jesus is opening the prison door. This whole scenario that's going on in Iran with lawmakers being infected, prison doors opening, it reminds me of the story of Exodus when God told Pharaoh through Moses, "Let my people go." And when the Pharaoh refused, God sent plagues to force them to do exactly what he commanded them to do. Now, I'm not trying to make an exact parallel. If it was just Iran and not the rest of the world that was infected with this virus, then we'd have a real parallel between what God did with the Hebrew children in Exodus and what was going on in Iran. But we don't have an exact parallel. But there are striking similarities. Now, I want to get back to another item about the coronavirus. On these videos, I see many, many bodies in body bags. The government wants to say 56 are dead. Other sources I have, 1,200, the National Council of Resistance of Iran says. Now, this goes on and on and on, this virus and what is happening here. There is also video I see of healthcare workers, nurses in Iran. There's a video of them doing an Iranian dance in all of their clothing, their mask. You can see them video of them dancing. And the whole idea behind that is this is so serious, what's happening in Iran, that they're trying to find a way to cope with the tragedy, with the suffering. And so these Iranian nurses, in all of their protective clothing and protective gear, you can see video of them dancing. And I say all of that to say this to you. The Iranian people need our prayers. They need intervention. President Trump has offered to help Iran. Despite the sanctions, despite what's going on, he has offered to reach out to Iran and to help them in this situation. And I hope that they will take him up on his offer, because if we can help them, we can make a big difference in what's happening in that country. So 54,000 prisoners are going to walk out of prison. And I'm really grateful for that. I can't imagine the psychological, the physical condition of these prisoners. To have even a month worth of furlough, it is a blessing. But please continue to pray for my dear friends in Iran. I want to share with us this morning something I've talked about before. But I just finished writing an article for our new book, Shout Freedom. And it's about freedom, what freedom really is, what true freedom is. And the name of the article is Freedom Without Jesus is Just Another Wall. It's based on a song by Wayne Watson. And I want to share that with you this morning, because I've completed the article, I've written it out, and I wanted to read it to you so that you can get an understanding and a sense of what I do when I talk with my friends in Iran and how I interact with them on the subject of freedom. And this is based on the great event in history, November 9th, 1987, with the fall of the Berlin Wall. Now, prior to that was one of the most famous speeches that Ronald Reagan ever gave in his presidency. And it's all about freedom, and it's all about the Berlin Wall. I want you to hear President Reagan in 1987.
And now the Soviets themselves may, in a limited way, be coming to understand the importance of freedom. We hear much from Moscow about a new policy of reform and openness. Some political prisoners have been released. Certain foreign news broadcasts are no longer being jammed. Some economic enterprises have been permitted to operate with greater freedom from state control. Are these the beginnings of profound changes in the Soviet state, or are they token gestures intended to raise false hopes in the West or to strengthen the Soviet system without changing it? We welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, that the advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Well, on June 12, 1987, President Ronald Reagan, as you heard right there, gave a powerful and memorable challenge to the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev as he proudly stood in front of the Berlin Wall to a cheering crowd, declaring, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." 2 years later, on November 9, 1989, Reagan's challenge became a reality. The concrete barrier of the Cold War that had separated communist East Berlin from the West collapsed as thousands of people in mass droves crossed to the other side in jubilant celebration. Communism had finally collapsed, and freedom had arrived. There would no longer be a death strip between the East and the West. No more machine guns, no more guard dogs. Although it would take another full 2 years before the complete physical demolishing of the wall was complete, the celebration had begun. The death of communism was really now a reality. Freedom. This powerful seven-letter word has been the passionate driving force in the hearts of humanity for thousands of years and has caused the deaths of millions of people fleeing oppression. This seven-letter word is one of the most precious words in the English language, one of the most powerful words on the lips of those giving their lives to be free from dictatorship governments. Christian artist Wayne Watson, reflecting on the historical fall of the Berlin Wall, composed a thought-provoking song on the subject of freedom that causes you and me to think deeply about what true real liberty really is. The chorus of the song gets right to the point about what Wayne believes true freedom really is. Here's the chorus. Freedom, people cry for freedom. But freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Freedom, give the people freedom, but give the people Jesus, or they got nothing at all. Wayne is challenging us to think about really what true freedom is. Millions of people celebrated the destruction of a physical wall that tore down the barriers of an oppressive political philosophy that had kept them in bondage for many years. Humanity was no longer bound by the chains of a dictatorship that enslaved them to a government that ruled their lives from the cradle to the grave. Now people were finally free to believe and think for themselves. Surely, this is what true freedom is really all about, right? Well, 2,000 years before the historic collapse of the Berlin Wall, another powerful and life-changing speech was given to a mass of people. Jesus stood before his disciples and a crowd of religious leaders and made an astounding proclamation. He declared, quote, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus also taught about freedom and the impact it would have on all of our lives. However, we really need to look closely at the kind of freedom that he was speaking about. Jesus said to the people who believed him in John chapter 8, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So the Son sets you free. You are truly free. Notice carefully the reaction of the religious leaders. In Jewish heritage, being a part of the great patriarchal family of Abraham, well, it conferred a very special status on the individual. The religious leaders were astonished at what Jesus had just told them. Being in the family of Abraham gave them great dignity and value. How can Jesus dare to question that heritage? They believed they were truly free. There was no corruption and bondage to break free from. However, Jesus points directly at the heart of their problem, which is also our problem as well: slavery to sin. The Pharisees and the scribes looked pure and clean on the outside. They loved to boast about their own righteousness and spirituality. In their eyes, they were perfectly obedient to God's law, and they constantly always looked down on the masses of other people. The outward image of true freedom can be very deceptive. The image of freedom was celebrated on a fall day in November when the Berlin Wall collapsed. But as Wayne Watson aptly points out in his song, freedom without Jesus is just another wall. The physical wall has been demolished, but there is another wall, the wall within our souls that is still holding humanity in bondage. That bondage is the death grip of sin. The human heart is in the death grip of sin until it's set free and the chains are broken by the power of Christ. Physical freedom is not enough. Humanity can celebrate freedom from oppressive governments when they fall, but, quote, freedom without Jesus, it's just another wall. Jesus offers us a freedom that no government of the world can ever give us. It is a freedom that breaks the power of corruption and sin in our hearts. It is a freedom that opens our eyes to what it means to have a living and vibrant relationship with the God of the universe. It is a freedom that allows us to dream big and experience a life of true joy beyond anything we can imagine or think. As a Christian author and a human rights activist for Iranians, I have a passion to be a voice for their freedom. It is my pleasure to fight for their human rights and write books to bring awareness to the world about their plight for freedom and justice. However, I have a very important responsibility to also make sure that I persuade them of a freedom that transcends the oppression of physical governments. The gospel is the true freedom that every Iranian needs. It is the power of the gospel that breaks the chains of sin and liberates us from the inward corruption that is keeping us in bondage. I will never stop speaking out for my Iranian friends. I will always email government leaders and be a voice for political prisoners on death row, demanding their freedom. All of this is good and absolutely necessary, but I must balance out my passion with the truth of God's word. Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is the true freedom that humanity needs. We can never truly be free until the walls of sin are torn down in our hearts. Just hope that you got the message of that.
Bonds are shaken, walls are breaking down.
Christian artist Wayne Watson, a provocative, thought-provoking song. I never tire of playing this. I hope you don't get tired of hearing it. But it's a message that we as Christians have got to really proclaim. And the privilege that I have to be a voice for Iranians, I don't take lightly. And yet I have this dual responsibility of saying freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Iranians one day will celebrate democracy. I know that. But freedom without Jesus is another wall. It's more bondage. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Thank you, Mary and Emma, for coming alongside and in the chat room. Continue to pray for Mary that on her court date, all charges will be dropped. Continue to pray for the people of Iran that need Jesus and that need relief from this plague and this virus. God bless you all. See you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.